by Henry Ford Community College's Performing Arts Department, April 16th through the 18th, and April 23rd through the 25th. Tickets are only $15 for adults and $10 for students. Visit hfcc.edu for more information about the Who's Tommy.
Morning, gentlemen. Want to hear our specials?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's actually been sitting around here for a week. Then there's the cream of chicken soup. It's had no refrigeration since it was made yesterday. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications such as heart attack. Why is it important? Because 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die from a heart attack or stroke. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk for heart attack. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Companies know what's good for business is good for the environment, which is why savvy companies are joining the Environmental Protection Agency's Performance Track. Performance Track companies are reducing their water consumption, improving their energy efficiency, and eliminating toxic materials. If you run a company, you owe it to your business and your customers to inquire about Performance Track at epa.gov/performance-track. That's epa.gov/performance-track. The smart way to protect the environment and green your bottom line.
Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my very special guest is Reverend Pamela Taylor, and she's a very busy lady, and this is what she's all about. She is a spiritualist minister, psychic medium, master astrologer, and psychic reader. Wow. Welcome to the show, Pamela.
Thank you. Great to be here, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you can make it. You do quite a few things, but one thing I didn't mention is you do dream analysis as well.
Dream work, yes.
Dream work, yes.
Taught some dream classes, too.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to start off with that. We haven't talked about dreams for a while, so perhaps you can give us some insight. Now, do you keep journals about your dreams?
I have been keeping a journal since the late 70s. I've got, actually, I'm on my 42nd or 43rd spiral-bound dream journal.
Really? That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a lot of I want to say research.
Mm-hmm.
And self-discovery.
Right.
And just an array of dreams. Prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of analysis, self-analysis type dreams, and I wake up and I figure, oh, I know what that means. That's a great piece of insight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a whole array of types of dreams that we dream, and they mean different things in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to us to decide what those mean, discover what they mean to us, because we're all alike in that we dream, but our symbolism may be a little different, an individual.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you write down your dreams, do you write down every single thing you can remember, every detail?
Yeah, I try to. Over the years, it's morphed into my own style, if you will, of recording them, and I've asked to remember, I've prayed to remember the details that are most important. So if I have a nonsense type of dream, then I don't really need to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I used to record every single little detail,
mm-hmm.
and I found over the years that I didn't need to do that
right.
anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you have a dream, do you wake up immediately and write it down if you can?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Okay. That's good for your sleep, right?
Oh, yeah. I used to keep a pen and paper by my bed and just jot in the dark. And I could read it in the morning. I would just jot a few things, and it would bring back the whole dream.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've programmed myself, if it's something I really need to be aware of, it's a little message dream, if you will, or prophetic dream, that I dream that close to the morning, so when I'll remember it when I wake up.
Mm-hmm. So over the years, you've trained yourself.
You can. That's the whole point. You can train yourself
mm-hmm.
to get information in your dreams that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can dreams help you?
Well, I got so many examples,
yes,
it's hard
okay.
to pick one.
Well, that's
one,
all right.
You know?
Pick one and we'll go from there.
Years ago, I was married before to my former husband, and we were on vacation in South Carolina, and I had a dream of a phone number. And I didn't recognize the phone number, but I went home. This was back in the 80s, and I went home and looked it up in the reverse phone book. It was mm-hmm. called a Bressers. And we were in business, and we had one of those. And it was the number of an attorney's office. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. And I called the attorney's office, and the lady I called the number. It was just a name. And I called the number, and the lady that answered, the receptionist, told me what attorney did what specialty, mm-hmm. including divorce. And
okay.
so 3.5 years later, I called that person that did divorce for my divorce. And it was interesting because when I called, her receptionist asked me who referred me, and I said, a dream. And I said, don't hang up. I'm a business person. I'm normal. I'm sane. But I dreamed this phone number several years ago. And
mm-hmm.
So anyway, she made the appointment. And when I got to the appointment, the attorney, you know, said, oh, I'm so excited to meet you. My secretary told me all about it, and I've got to tell you something. She said, I had a dream before the end of the year last year, and it was my father who came to me. He's deceased, but he came to me in the dream, and he said that January 14th would be a very important day for me, so pay attention. And that was the day I made my appointment, was for January 14th. So.
Hmm.
So it's things, I got a lot of those kind of examples, but that was very interesting. And this woman, this attorney, filed the paperwork within an hour of my leaving the office.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, time was of the essence and important in the matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting that you had the dream years before,
yes.
and yet it did come to fruition in a manner of speaking, right?
Yeah. It was like, I think, guiding me a little bit ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they can be very helpful. I've just got lots and lots of examples, dreaming of places and people a year or two before I saw the place, met the people,
mm-hmm.
and it tells me I'm on target and I'm on my path,
right.
and that this is an important meeting.
Right.
It can also forewarn about passings, people passings, and the circumstances around that. I always tell people, if they're not open to that and they're uncomfortable with that, then you program yourself not to have those dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that kind of dream, that information. You don't have to have it. You can say, I don't want this, and the universe, as it will, would cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, you say you pray before you go to sleep. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you ask for certain types of guidance. Maybe you get dreams about certain
yeah.
problems in life sometimes. Can you
yeah.
guide your imagery like that?
Yes, any of us can. We can.
Mm-hmm.
We work with our dreams, and you really want to do that, you can work with them in that way.
Mm-hmm. Does it help to write down the question or the problem on a sheet of paper before you go to bed and maybe put it by your bedside?
Some people do that. I just say, speak it in my head, please help me with this. Give me a dream that will give me some insight about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing throughout the time that I've been doing this. And it builds, because in the beginning it was hard for me to trust, but I had so many things happen
right.
again and again that I began to trust. If I had the dream, it meant something and I trusted it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think every dream is open to interpretation, though. Is that correct? I mean, even though there are certain guidelines that may be universal, I think a lot of things that happen in dreams are based on a person's individual experience and whatever position they are in life or whatever their career is. It affects them in that way, so it's not always just a simple, you know, something out of a book where you read, oh, well, if you dream about this, it means this. Sometimes it just depends on what's going on in a person's life. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. And those are messages and help in your life if you'll allow it into your life.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, it's open to interpretation. So yeah. You have to find out how it applies to your life.
Right. Everybody does individually. Mm-hmm. I've helped people interpret their dreams. I've helped them. I've also had people that help me and give me insight to in a dream I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how the dreams will maybe revolve around a little song or a verse or a
mm-hmm.
message.
Yes.
But I was thinking about it. I'll go back to the divorce thing, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. But I had a dream, and I couldn't figure it out. And I asked a girlfriend of mine to help me with it, and she listened to the dream, which was I dreamed I was in a hot tub, and it was comfortable, but I needed to get out because I wanted to wash my hair, and you can't do that in a hot tub. And every time I'd get up out of the hot tub, it was cold, and I'd sit back down again, and then my hair would itch, and I got to get out of this hot tub. And so finally, I did get out. That was it. I got out, and as I stepped out of the tub, I realized there was blood coming from my body. And so I said, what does all that mean? And she says, I think aren't you thinking about making a change and a divorce? You want to wash that man right out of your hair.
There you go.
She said,
yes, very good.
She said it's a little hard because a certain level of comfort in the relation, in the marriage,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
you know, we got
right.
bills together. We had,
right.
had the son, the dog, the cat, the house, the mortgage.
Right.
And there was a certain level of comfort. So, you know, every time I think about it, I thought, oh, that's a chilly thought. So,
right.
But ultimately I did, using the attorney from the dream even before that.
Right.
So those are examples of how people, how dreams can work in your life and how people can use them.
Right. Well, I think that happens. People get comfortable in a certain situation and they're afraid of change. But sometimes
yeah.
when you do have those dreams, I think you have to pay attention to them just for your own good.
Yeah, it wasn't the only one. I had a few other ones, but that particular dream was really funny because I wouldn't have even thought of it. You have to wash
right.
that man right out of your hair.
That's right. Rather
so
graphic,
the old song.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they can be. Mm-hmm. It's like you can get little hints in dreams, and then if you don't, you're not getting it, you get the nightmare.
Right.
That saying, you got to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had that in a work situation where I had these little dreams, and I knew what it was, knew what they were saying, but I was still delaying. And then I had this dream, it was a flipping nightmare. I was in my car, and a little car that I used to have, and that's a whole other symbolism about that situation,
mm-hmm.
old way of being. And I had this strong intuition to get out of the car in the dream. And I got out of the car, and then a big storm picked up my car in the wind and whirled it around and took it away. And I think that would have been my situation had I stayed in that work
mm-hmm.
Uncomfortable, incompatible work situation. So that got my attention, and then I made some changes,
mm-hmm.
which were, I would have been swept away. I would have been, it would have not been a good situation at all. So I listened to that.
Right. Well, I think sometimes they have to be graphic to get
mm-hmm.
your attention.
Get your attention. That's mm-hmm. It's subtle. They'll start with subtle little warnings, and you think, oh, I don't get that. I wonder what that means. And then you get the nightmare, and you know, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Got
you
my
pay attention.
Yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think like the people that were going to sail on the Titanic, there was an example of some of that sunk. Oh, just about the anniversary of that, isn't it? Oh, speaking
is
of
it?
That.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it is April 15th,
okay.
1912. So they had premonition dreams about, you know, not being on the ship, and they paid attention. Same with 911. There were
mm-hmm.
people.
Right.
The 911 situation. Some other flights. It really can work if you pay attention. You can,
mm-hmm.
if you
yeah.
use it seriously.
Right. Well, you can avert disaster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very important. And I just want to remind everybody right now that you're listening to WHFR. Metaphysically.fm, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Reverend Pamela Taylor. She is a spiritualist minister, psychic medium, master astrologer, and psychic reader. Now, something you mentioned that I always think is interesting, too, is sometimes when you wake up singing a little snippet of a song, sometimes it has something to do with what you've asked about or what you're concerned about. And it's gotten to the point where I actually went and looked up the lyrics to see if it really pertained to what's going on. Sometimes it did, sometimes not so much. But I think it's interesting that that does happen occasionally anyway, right?
Yeah. All kinds of things. Numbers, colors you can be impressed with, phrases, personalities. Sometimes people, I've heard a lot of these stories and had them myself, people are real impressed with a person, an image of a person as they're waking up that maybe they haven't seen in a long time or communicated with, and have then found out that that person calls them that day, or in some cases that person had passed on. So, and from my perspective as a spiritualist minister, I'm seeing that as that that person on the spirit side was wanting to communicate with them and let them know that, hey, I'm okay. I'm over here now, and I'm okay.
That's right. Everything's beautiful, which is good. Have you had dreams like that?
Oh, yeah. Many that communicate from people that have passed on. I had a friend who passed away at 37 from complications of brittle diabetes. And we had talked. I had spent quite a bit of time with her toward the end of her life. And we had talked about how we didn't want to, we thought funerals were, I've since changed my mind about that. Funerals are for the living and they're meant for closure.
Yes.
But at the time, she and I both agreed, oh, those are so gross. I don't want people looking at me. And that's just, you know.
It's morbid.
It's morbid, right. So we didn't, we just, we absolutely agreed on that. And then shortly after that, she passed away. And I had the dream. It's like she came to me in a dream and was showing me in the dream we were in like in hospital beds, but we were on different levels. Different levels. Hers was higher than mine. That was like raised higher. So I think she was, you know, she was on a different level then in the dream. But in the dream she said, you know, it only took about 5 minutes, and then those damn nurses wouldn't leave me alone. And they worked on me about half an hour, and that was the dream. And then I found out from her family before the funeral, in talking with them, that she had, the nurse had been in her room and left and came back 5 minutes later, and she was gone. And then they, you know, crash cart worked on her to try to revive her.
Right.
But she was gone. But I, you know, she came and told me that ahead. And the interesting thing was, regarding the funeral, that I was going to go to the funeral out of respect for her family, who I knew, and I couldn't get there. My car broke down, not once, but twice. It broke down...
In real life.
In real life, on the way to the funeral. It broke down, it was something with the gas pedal, and I was able to get into the gas station, and they fixed it. And I'm on my way again, and then my alternator went. So it was like she was saying, hey, you know, we talked about this. Funerals are gross. Don't come to my funeral.
Right, yes.
She was, like, saying that. And then I had a subsequent dream a couple years after that that she was showing me that she now had her condo.
Oh, really?
In her, yeah, she had always wanted.
Condo in the sky?
Condo
or?
In the sky. So, you know, God bless her. Effie, her name was Effie. God bless her. So I've just had so many wonderful experiences, including foreshadowing of people to pass. My grandmother, I dreamed of my grandmother's death about 5 months before she passed. And I wrote it, duly wrote it down, and kind of forgot about it in a few months. But in the dream, she had died, and she was kneeling at the foot of a small bed. And the date was either August 7th or 8th, and that's just how it was in the dream. The date wasn't August 7th, and it wasn't August 8th. In the dream, it was either August 7th or 8th. So fast forward to August 7th, my grandmother fell out of her bed in the nursing home, and they found her crunched up kind of like in a kneeling position at the foot of the bed. They called EMS, of course, who revived and took her to the hospital. And then while she was at the hospital, she'd looked at my aunt and was not, and whispered, "You promised." She had a DNR, a do not resuscitate order, standing order at the nursing home. And so then my aunt, they said, okay, and they removed the the things that were keeping her alive, and she passed in August 8th. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she could have died August 7th or August 8th. So there was the dream and the details. In the dream she had broken her right ankle. And indeed she had. Actually, she'd broken her leg in three places, including mm-hmm. the right ankle. So there mm-hmm. were the circumstances of the dream. Mm-hmm. So just many, many things like that tell me ahead. Something I don't always know, you know, what year.
Right, right.
With my mother's, I had gotten a date of May 18th, which I had forgotten about until it happened. And then I had something about a Friday and being in a hospital bed. And I had a couple of dreams, probably 5 to 10 years before she died, about that. And that's exactly the circumstances. It was May 18th. It was a Friday, and she mm-hmm. was in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so those kind of things. And it can be very helpful to people if they learn to work with it and they're not afraid and they pay attention. And, yeah, write a few things down and then review after a few months because, you know, we tend to forget. Mm-hmm. So I review.
Right, right.
Not all 43 in one setting.
Yes, right. But again, you have to, you'll remember things because it makes an impression upon you, especially when they're so vivid. Now, do you have dreams that sometimes really shock you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
especially when they do come true, like, wow, I didn't either know that was what it meant or just shocked me because I didn't expect so-and-so to pass away or whatever the case may be.
Well, yeah, it just more and more it would confirm. It would be like, oh, my God, Danny died. That was the name of a student that I was involved in teaching when I was working in the public school system. And he died. It was like 2.5, 3 years after the dream. And I had dreamed that he passed away in his sleep and nobody knew what had happened, and it turned out it was his heart, mm-hmm. and it came to happen that way. I got a call that he had passed, and I thought, oh my gosh, what happened? And it was, they don't know, they got to do an autopsy. And then at the funeral home, I found out that it was his heart, and, you know, in the middle of the night, and yeah, mm-hmm. so there it was.
Mm-hmm. So now sometimes when you have dreams, maybe about certain people that seem to be important in the dream, but you don't recognize them, do you find that sometimes somewhere down the line that you recognize that person when you come upon them, that you don't know who it is at the time, but maybe you try to fit a name because, well, gee, it seemed like so-and-so, but it's not until later it all becomes clear that, no, that wasn't it at all.
Or it might have been somebody you haven't met yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I had a more recent dream like that. I was dealing with a health issue, and I really wanted some insight about it and guidance about where to go. And the regular medical field just wasn't doing it for me. And I had a dream that I was in a hospital, and I felt really uncomfortable. I was too far away from the bathroom for one thing, and it was a whole ward. There were all these people in a room. I was just one of them, and I was close to the nursing station, but I was far from the bathroom, which I interpreted as far from relief.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the dream, I got out, and I thought, I'm not going to stay here. And I got in my car, and I left. And then I thought, you know what? I still need some help, so I have to go back. But when I went back, I wasn't in the big, long ward. I was in this small, intimate setting, one-on-one, and a female doctor came in, short, dark hair, and she said, you're my patient now. And some months after that, I met a doctor with the short, dark hair and a holistic type of treatment or alternative treatment center, and it's been very helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So I knew when I went into that clinic, and that was the doctor that I had the appointment with, that was the right person.
Right.
From
that
the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There she was.
Right. Now, are there general things that people dream about that could be given a generic meaning? I mean, if they dream about a certain thing, it would possibly mean something. I know sometimes when people dream about death, maybe they're dying, that can also mean they're going to go through change.
A big transformation mm-hmm. in their life. If you dream of, which I have, I've dreamed of myself in a casket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
yeah, that's
well,
not
that's
good.
Me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here, but I'm in the casket.
Right.
And I woke up from that. It was a little scary. it was many years ago when I was first beginning to record my dreams, and I thought, I know what that meant. It meant I was going through a big change in my life. It was the death of the old self.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it can be that. Or if we meet somebody else dies, that we dream somebody else's death, it could be that they're going to go through a big change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. But you think that it could actually be the thing, the real thing, but it's not.
It could be. They could, yeah, it could be a passing. I've learned to really be patient and have faith, mm-hmm. and not my time and not my will, but God's will and God's
right.
time with these things.
Right.
I don't know that that could be their passing, and I don't want to think it that way, you mm-hmm. know. But I've just found over and over again that these dreams do mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, be aware.
Right.
I have a family member who I had dreamed of three dreams, and this was many years ago, that they were in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a relative, and I kept dreaming he's in a wheelchair. Well, he is in a wheelchair now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happened. You would never have thought, because he was really strong and vital and healthy, and now he doesn't have the use of his limbs, and he is in a wheelchair. And there was, I thought of that years later. Mm-hmm. When he became wheelchair-bound, that, oh, my God, mm-hmm. there it was.
Mm-hmm. Do you periodically go through your journals just to review some of the dreams you've had, or you just go back when you want to look up something specifically?
Well, I have put an index. I kind of index them in the front of the cover, so sometimes I go back and look for something specific to get some details.
Mm-hmm.
And other times I just kind of do a general review, although I haven't done one from the very beginning in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I do the more current ones.
Yes. Well, those are the ones that are probably most important at this time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Usually.
Yeah.
Now, do you often dream maybe several times about a certain person or a certain event, and
yes.
then it does come true?
Yeah, repeatedly, kind of a warning dream, four dreams about a person who appear, and it is a specific person, unfortunately, who appears to be one way but is really another, is actually has a police type record,
mm-hmm.
has served some jail time, and some people think that he's totally changed and rehabilitated, and my dreams tell me that he is not, so beware, so I wouldn't be trusting this person,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, again, that just alerts you to
yep.
what could be possibly going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just have to remain aware of what your surroundings are and
yeah.
who's with you and what they may be up to.
Right, right. So I just thought, okay, there you go. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's interesting because as a minister, I truly believe, you know, non-judgmental. As a person, even aside from being a minister, I don't like to judge because I don't know what somebody's path is and what their lessons are.
Right.
And even in this circumstance with this man and the dreams that I've had, I don't know what his path is and that he might be learning from these circumstances. But at the same time, I thank the universe because that's protecting me. That this is some, you know, a leopard hasn't changed its spots here. They might have faded a little bit, but
right.
the spots are still there. So I'm grateful for that. And you can certainly pray for those that are kind of lost souls
mm-hmm.
and that have a difficult time, but you don't want to stand and be a target.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you want to protect
yes.
yourself.
Right.
So
right.
I look at it as that way.
Right. And just to let everybody know, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Reverend Pamela Taylor. She is a spiritualist minister, psychic medium, master astrologer, and psychic reader. Right now we're talking about dreams, but something you mentioned just a minute ago, you try not to judge people. Isn't that hard to do sometimes?
Yeah, it is. And I like to say, rather than judging, I'm discerning.
Okay,
I'm not
well,
judging them. As
is
to,
that the PC way of
well,
saying you're judging somebody?
Yeah, it would sound like the PC
yes.
way, but judgment... you're coming to some kind of conclusion
mm-hmm.
about it, yay or nay about it. Some kind of conclusion. Discernment is where I look at that situation and without any kind of judgment about that person, I just simply say, this is not for me, or I don't want to be around this person. I don't want to get involved in this situation. I'm discerning that I'm uncomfortable with it, so I don't want to be a part of it. That's the difference. I'm not judging them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just discerning that I'm uncomfortable
right.
in that presence. And as a psychic, I do pick up that energy. And so I need to pay attention to it and not ignore it. I was given those gifts, and they're to be used responsibly for others and for myself, because I use them for other people, and I certainly need to be using them for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be like a mechanic that lets his car fall apart because he's busy fixing other people's cars.
Right.
Well, and the psychic giving readings, but, you know, I need to take my own advice, too, my
right.
own insight.
Right, right, take care of yourself as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, again, just being a person, you know, you have an ego as does everybody else. Sometimes it's hard not to judge people, though. You try to be open-minded, but do you just give in to saying, you know, oh, that person's a jerk or whatever it might be, just because you are a human being?
Yeah,
in other words, you do judge people.
Well,
I mean, as we all do.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like especially when you're driving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Somebody right. shoots in front of you.
Yeah.
There's only a jerk, you know. And then I think, you know, is that person in a hurry because there's something they have to get to? I don't know. And I try, okay, bless you mm-hmm. and stay safe.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, sometimes the knee-jerk reaction is takes you by surprise, and it's oh,
right.
But and then I always try to think, well, I don't know what's going on in that person's life,
mm-hmm.
so, and that's a better way to be because it's a lot healthier for you,
mm-hmm.
for myself,
yes,
you know,
right,
to look positively at things,
right?
Not naively and
right.
not stupidly, but
right.
positive. You know, as I was saying about discerning whether to be around people or certain people or not, I like my life comfortable and happy, and some places I just don't want to go, and
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be, and I respect that.
Right. Well, that's what they say. I mean, if there's something that goes on in traffic, you should just take a deep breath, let it go. Again, not always easy to do, especially if it's really something dumb that somebody else has done, but... Anyway.
Like not use your turn signal?
Yeah,
drives
right.
me crazy.
Well, or,
just let me know
yeah,
what you're doing. It's
right.
okay you cut in.
Yeah.
Just put your turn signal on.
We could right. spend the rest of the show just talking about, you know, some of the people
yeah.
out there. But one thing I wanted to find out about is how did you become an ordained reverend?
Through a process of years, I belonged to a spiritualist church, or I became a member, which was a surprise to me because I was never going to join a church
mm-hmm.
ever again in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised from childhood in a restrictive, I called it the thou shalt not religion, and I'm not going to name it on the air,
okay.
but it was restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And out of respect for some beautiful people that are in that religion, and my mother who maintained that religion throughout her life.
Mm-hmm.
But... I was never going to join another church again because I just didn't like that kind of control and all those thou shalt nots, and they just didn't seem very spiritual to me. It seemed like people were focused on all the external, all the wrong things,
mm-hmm.
nothing of the heart.
Right.
And I visited churches from time to time, but I didn't feel comfortable in them, and I had to hide a big chunk of who I was. I was psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I was already mediumistic.
Right.
How do I, you know, I had to hide that, and an astrologer, long-time astrologer, so
mm-hmm.
I couldn't be honest or open about those things. And some of those churches really, one friend who went wanted me to burn my tarot cards.
Really?
Yeah.
They're evil, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they're evil.
Yes.
And it was like, you know, read your history. There's historical significance here.
Mm-hmm.
And how about Carl Jung, the great psychologist, who... not only studied the tarot, but dreams
mm-hmm.
and astrology as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
anyway, how did you become a reverend? We want to know, you know, how you became ordained.
Oh, okay.
You said you started off going to a spiritualist church after being
mine's
raised.
Mine's going in all these different
well,
directions.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Being raised in a
nostalgic
different type,
plane, you know?
Religion. Yes.
Yeah, well, I came to the church. It was in my very own city,
mm-hmm.
and I knew about it, and I went to it. And for these, they had monthly psychic readings. It was a spiritualist church, and they called it Silver Tea, and they had these
mm-hmm.
monthly psychic readings. And
was this
so
in,
I visited
I'm not
it.
To interrupt, but was this in Michigan?
Yes,
okay.
yes, in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I felt really comfortable every time I went there. Once a month, and
mm-hmm.
I just felt, oh, I like the people. And then I was doing that for a couple of years, and then I decided I'd go to Sunday service. And actually, I had I was recuperating from injuring my shoulder, and they
mm-hmm.
also had healing as part of the service.
Like Reiki?
Well, that wouldn't be called Reiki, but it's similar in that it's laying on of hands and mm-hmm. energy work.
Right.
Not necessarily even touching, but energy work around the body. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so comfortable. And I didn't have to hide who I was. I was psychic, too. Everybody yes. there, I was normal. Mm-hmm. I go there, I'm normal.
Right.
So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to take a class. It's about spiritualism, basic spiritualism. I'm going to do that. Finally, I take the class. This is now I've been almost three years going to the Silver Tees, and then I take a class, and I like the class. I feel comfortable with it. And then I decide I'm going to join the church. I can't believe this is happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, well, I can always unjoin the church.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'll join, but I can always unjoin the church. And then I found myself being more involved with serving as a message bearer from the church platform, and that's where the medium gives messages to people in the congregation. And mm-hmm. this is all part of all spiritualist services, and it's at the end of the service. It's mm-hmm. just like a regular church service on a Sunday, only they have 15 minutes healing in the beginning, mm-hmm. and a regular songs and a speaker and announcements, and then at the end they devote that to giving messages to people in the congregation. Different, maybe 3-4 different mediums will sit on the, mm-hmm. be on the platform there, and then after the talk, that they'll each give messages to several people in the congregation. So, I was serving that way, and then I decided I think I'll get the paper for that. I'll get my mediumship papers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just do that.
Right.
Well, I did that, and then the next thing I'm doing is I think I'll get my healing paper, since I'm also working in the healing room, mm-hmm. which there was a little healing room off the back of the church where people would come and sit in a chair and you would do energy work over them as you were guided, inner guidance. And I've been doing that. I've taken the classes. Now I'm going to actually get the paper behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So those two things were required to become an associate minister. You had to have your mediumship papers, you had to have healing papers to become an associate minister. So with people saying, why did you become an associate? I'm thinking, okay, I'll be an associate minister. And then I'll stop there. I don't need to be an ordainment. I'm a minister. I'm doing the minister work anyway. I'll just get the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I can serve my church more. And then I get that. And then a couple years after that, I felt that I've come this far. I need to do the ordination too,
mm-hmm.
and I had a lot of encouragement from my church
mm-hmm.
to become. And during this time period, as I'm doing these different steps, I also served as a treasurer of the Mother Organization.
Mm-hmm.
The Mother Organization is the Independent Spiritualist Association, the ISA,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of a break off from the National Spiritualist Association mm-hmm. of Churches. The ISA was founded in 1924, basically the same tenets as the NSAC, but they wanted more individual freedom in the churches, in the individual churches to run their church.
Mm-hmm.
And the other organization didn't allow that kind of, or as much of that kind of freedom. So the ISA had a lot more latitude with freedom in their individual sister churches.
Mm-hmm.
So when I became more ordained, it just seemed like a natural progression in this mm-hmm. pathway, and it was a surprise to me. Actually, I'm an astrologer, and I had looked at my chart years ago, and I thought, wow, that's a teacher and a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teacher-preacher chart.
Right.
And here I am.
Right. Right.
And I laughed at the time.
Right.
You know, but it was very correct.
Mm-hmm. So the ISA is the group that...
That's the mother organization.
Right, and they're the ones that actually...
Ordained me.
Ordained you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sponsored right. by my church, you know, mm-hmm. the individual church, and then actually ordained by the organization, Independent Spiritualist Association
mm-hmm.
of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And how long did this take?
96 to 2008, 12 years.
Okay. Yeah, so
it was ordained 2 years ago.
It's a work in progress still, isn't it? I mean, aren't
yeah,
you still you learning?
Yeah, you never quit. Yeah, right. You never mm-hmm. stop learning. I became an associate minister. That's not, you know, ordained, but it's still mm-hmm. ministerial work up
right.
to performing marriages. That was mm-hmm. the only thing I couldn't have done. And I did that for 5 years before ordination.
Mm-hmm. So you can marry people?
Yeah, I can marry people. Mm-hmm.
And have you?
No, I've been asked to, but I just because of my schedule wasn't able to oblige.
Oh, really? Really?
But we have a friend whose daughter's getting married, and they've told us right off that they want Robert to do the music.
Robert being your husband,
Robert Taylor, who's been on the show prior.
Yes, yes, he has been.
And so he's going to do the music, and I'm going to perform the marriage. Mm-hmm. So, which will be my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's going to be a team effort.
Oh yeah.
Team Taylor, right?
Which we haven't done to this. You know, people would think, oh, you're ordained. He's got the DJ MC biz, and mm-hmm. and why aren't you using this all over the place? And it just, you know, we just didn't. We don't look at it as a commercial venue.
Right. Right.
So this would actually be the first time we'd be doing that.
Could be a whole new path. Yeah, who knows? Just tour the country doing that. You know.
Right.
You never
know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But serving, it's
right.
a way of serving.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I teach classes, actually through the church and then through the various community education programs that are spiritually oriented, or the psychic sciences, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you known that you're a person that, I guess, can channel and is associated with spirit? How long have you known that?
Probably... I just go way back to when I was really young. I had these experiences, like from real mm-hmm. early.
Like what's real early? What
seeing,
age?
I want to. The age that strikes me that really hit was at age 8 when mm-hmm. I saw. I'd seen some things before, but this had a profound experience. When I was lying in my bedroom at night late, and I opened my eyes and I saw a figure in the corner of my room. And there was nothing that could account for that. No open closet. No, you know, it looked like a monk, but I didn't know what a monk was at 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It had the little rope belt, and it had a hood mm-hmm. above its head. And it started to turn toward me, and I would see the face, and I was so frightened. I put the covers over my head, and I couldn't even call out to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I just
yeah,
was
you were
totally
scared, right?
immobilized.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I hadn't had an experience quite like that. And then... I looked up and I peeked over the covers and I saw the figure of Jesus, who I knew who that was.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just intuitively you knew
who it was? No, I actually saw it outside of my body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's got to be scary, too.
That was real
scary.
That
age.
Was just as scary at 8 mm-hmm. years old. And I put the covers back over my head, and then I got out of, after about, I don't know, five, who knows how long, I was under those covers for a while, and I really had to use the bathroom, so I dashed mm-hmm. out of the room, and I told my mother, who did believe me, but they, and then I slept in her bed, and that my parents changed out that room, new furniture. They thought by getting new furniture somehow maybe that would stop it. Well,
mm-hmm.
it didn't.
Yes.
But I didn't have so much experiences outside myself. It was more like they came... on an inner level. I'd see it in my mind's eye because the external was so frightening to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and I had nothing to support it. I mean, my family was a more traditional religion, and they believed me, but they didn't understand it.
Right.
So I really couldn't talk to them about it. So mm-hmm. It was almost like this little secret.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anybody in your family that you felt you could really discuss things with as far as spirit goes?
A little bit with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me a dream book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. There's a start, right?
That was a start. She used to have a dream book, and I used to call her and ask her about a dream that I'd had. Look it up in your dream book, Grandma. That was when I was really a young child. And then she'd tell me, you know, what the entry was in her dream book, and then finally she bought me a dream book for myself.
Mm-hmm. At what age were you?
Probably a young teenager.
Okay.
By then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised based on your past experience that, you know, your family didn't really become upset with the things you were telling them, but they were pretty much open to what you were expressing.
Like they were believing it, but they didn't know exactly what to do or deal with it. And so other, you know,
right.
prayer, and you don't want anything that had to do with that kind of thing was evil automatically.
Right. Uh-huh.
But it was, I mean, I didn't feel it was evil.
Right.
It felt comforting and
right.
and kind and warm. I felt so much love in that kind of experience around me. And I got to tell you, when I became a spiritualist years later, I didn't tell my parents right away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, My mother, oh dearie, she had some things to say, but I told her that in all my exploration of visiting churches, that the only church that I felt was focused on love was the spiritualist church, and that all the others were focused on fear. Don't do this, don't do this,
right.
Anger, guilt, and I can't live that way. Just it was very stressful to go into these other places, for me, and I'm certainly not...
Right.
People need to go where their heart leads them, and that may not be the spiritualist path as I have done, but they need to listen to themselves and not do it out of fear.
Right.
And guilt.
Yes, guilt. I think guilt is very important with the way religion controls people sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, religion is a form of social control.
Right, it can be, definitely.
That was high school religions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. I always remember that she said, "Religion's a form of social control," and I never forgot that. So,
that's
and then when
true.
I took the college version of that, it was a similar type of thing, but a lot more broad. You know, it was very broad. I always felt some kind of a spiritual connection to to not a religion particularly, but to some the energy out there. And spiritualism was the closest that I could find for myself that felt like a fit. It felt comfortable. That would encompass the spiritual experiences and the communications that I had with the other side.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm Mike Holloway. The name of this program is Metaphysically Speaking. My guest this month is Reverend Pamela Taylor. She is a spiritualist minister, a psychic medium, master astrologer, and psychic reader. And right now we're just talking about a variety of things. One thing I wanted to know about is, when did you realize that you were a medium, that others could speak through you or you could channel other people?
Wow, I'd have to go back. I'd say somewhere in my teens, I'd feel energy around me, maybe sooner than that, but I became more conscious of it in my late teens. And I didn't know how, I didn't think even to talk to anybody about it because that would go nowhere in my in my
right.
home. But I would, in going to funeral homes or funerals with my family, I would feel, oh, that person's not there. There's the shell. I just said, there's the shell, and I I don't know where that came from at that time. There's the shell. And yet I would feel the energy of that person around, even though that's the shell. That's not them. They're here. They're still around, but they're not in that body. And I would feel that way, so I'd feel a connection. I really began to open up to listening to that more, probably in my 20s, late 20s. But again, was kind of afraid of it.
Right,
time. Didn't have any in my locale where I lived and my family. There just wasn't a support for that. But I did have friends that recognized the psychic gifts, where they would give me a lipstick or a piece of paper. Or a piece of article clothing and say, what do you see?
Right.
And I would give them the impressions that I saw. So that was happening.
Right.
And so it was a process of becoming more open. I read a lot about the Edgar Cayce, the books.
Right.
And that was helpful.
But again, it had to be kind of scary when you first realized you could do this. Didn't you think you were losing your mind at times?
No.
No.
And people
ask me. Good.
The thing that I thought I was a little crazy wasn't the psychic stuff, was the astrology, because I realized I was in my maybe early 20s when I realized I was thinking everything I thought was astrology. I was analyzing everything in the light of astrology. And I didn't have any kind of group to affiliate with at that time. So I thought, oh my God. And then I realized that, I'm okay. I'm solid, I'm stable.
Yes,
and,
right. I'm normal.
I'm normal.
I'm okay,
yeah,
yes.
Normal in quotes.
Right, yes.
You know, so, but
well,
it was a wonderful tool in understanding life and people and the world around me. And then I used that tool to help other people understand themselves and their world.
Right.
And it's been a great tool in that way.
Right.
Just as communicating with spirit is a wonderful tool to help people and make some closure in their life. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to serve as a channel for spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've introduced you as a psychic medium and a psychic reader. What is the difference between the two?
Well, you can't be a medium unless you're in the middle. You're in the middle as a medium, so mm-hmm. you're communicating with somebody on this side, and you're a go-between for somebody on this side and somebody on the other side. So you're essentially doing readings.
Mm-hmm. And people just come to you and ask for information about a certain relative or something.
Yeah, and I can't guarantee that relative will be there. Mm-hmm. As I tell them, you meditate on that before your appointment, you know, mm-hmm. weeks before the appointment, or you meditate and ask for, you know, uncle to show up or grandma or whatever, and most likely they will, but there's never a guarantee because they're busy on that side too, and I tell people that. But if it's meant to be, if it's okay, they'll make an appearance,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy to be the go-between, mm-hmm. the mediator. You know, the telephone, if you will.
Yes,
as
right.
I tell people, I give the information as it's given to me. I'm not here to interpret it for you, I tell
right.
them. You've got to interpret what that means to you. I'm just the telephone. I'm just
mm-hmm.
telling you what I'm being shown,
right.
what they're showing me and what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to decipher what that means for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your part. I'm just the message bearer.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things you hear, do you edit those out? Perhaps
yes.
you don't want the other person to know about certain things that you're hearing?
If it's colorful language, woohoo,
mm-hmm. yeah.
flying
okay.
four-letter words, no, I won't put those in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will tell the spirit in question to step back if you're going to use that kind of language, you know, because I'm not going to.
Right.
And I will tell them to leave on the spirit side. No,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
right.
like... And some will step in when it's not their turn, or try to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I do use a couple of guides that help me with that on the spirit side of life.
Mm-hmm.
One is my father, who's been would be totally unexpected.
Right.
Would never have thought that, but he's been a wonderful help on the spirit side of life in a way that he couldn't be, when he was in the physical.
Right.
So him and a guide, Abdul, that I became aware of when I was 25
mm-hmm.
in meditation,
mm-hmm.
all very helpful in screening those on the other side and setting things up on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you ever receive information that you're reluctant to tell somebody because you don't think they can handle it per se?
Yeah, well, the prayer that I do before I give a reading
mm-hmm.
is that I be a pure, clear channel for messages and information that will uplift, enlighten, inspire, heal, and guide.
Mm-hmm.
Uplift is in there. So if it's something that's not going to be uplifting or said in an uplifting way, it's not going to come through this channel,
mm-hmm.
through my channel,
mm-hmm.
Because I want it to be something that is helpful. If there have been occasions where I have given information that I felt I was shown by my spirit guides that they needed to know that and they were open to receiving that,
mm-hmm.
okay, I'm not going to give something that, and in fact, I won't even be given it to give if
mm-hmm.
it's going to be hurtful to the person.
Right.
Because my prayer is throughout the reading and even silently is to help that person. Please help me to help be a channel to help that person
right.
and to bring them something that will help them.
Do you ever get information that you pause and say, that cannot possibly be true or right or anything like that, so
yeah.
that you might edit that out?
I'm like... I might give it anyway. I don't understand this, but they're showing me. And sometimes it's
mm-hmm.
really ridiculous. It seems really ridiculous. And yet many, many times I've had people laugh and say, oh, I know exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, Uncle John did such and such.
Right.
And they know what it is. It makes no sense. Some stuff makes no sense. And I tell them, you don't have to explain to me. Just as long as you
right.
understand it, I'm never nosy. I don't need to know.
Right.
Just as long as you're helped and you understand it.
Right.
But I do have quite a few people that will call or email me and tell me that what had come through in the reading was so accurate and helpful
mm-hmm.
to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting
right.
to learn how it unfolded in their life.
Right. Well, that's the important yeah. part, too, if they can incorporate that knowledge or that information into their life that might help them.
That's the purpose of the reading. It's
mm-hmm.
how I feel that I have these gifts to help people in a productive way in a positive way, and using it just to titillate is just not, you know, where I come from.
Right.
You know, just to make people laugh and giggle and get all excited and scared. You know, I think it has more purpose than that.
Mm-hmm. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Reverend Pamela Taylor. She is a spiritualist minister, psychic medium, master astrologer, and psychic reader. Now, before you give a reading, what do you do to get ready for that?
You meditate, a little meditation beforehand. Mm-hmm. In my home, I light some incense. I have some music, very spiritual, peaceful music playing. I have even a little water fountain going. I just want the atmosphere. I want that feeling, people
right.
to come in and have it be a place of peace. It makes for much more receptivity on their part and my part.
Mm-hmm.
And then I meditate. Often I get things before people walk in the door. I'm writing away on my pad,
mm-hmm.
writing up, 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 up. And it always has a meaning. And so I'm preparing before they come for that sitting.
Mm-hmm. Do you prefer to meet the people in person?
Yes, but I've done many phone readings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've done phone readings from people far away, actually.
Mm-hmm. Other countries?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also in my home.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment is that people enjoy coming because it's a peaceful place.
Mm-hmm. Well, you try to make it that way, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it is.
Right.
And it's years of that kind of vibe. My husband being of the Hindu tradition and what would be a priest now, although he spent 7 years as a monk in the
mm-hmm.
tradition, he'd be what's called a priest now. You know, it's important to us to have our environment be spiritually oriented, peaceful, a place of peace.
Right.
So,
well, that's all important. And you work at that? I mean, you really try to
yes.
develop that atmosphere.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like. In fact, we go home at night and we shut the door and we say goodbye, cruel world.
Yes, right. Just stay away.
Yeah, just,
nothing personal,
yeah,
but don't bother me anymore.
We just need to be
yeah.
quiet and down and off and in our little spiritual space.
Right.
And it's good for everybody to do that, no
right.
matter how they, you know, whether that's in their room or even driving in their car on their way to work, or they have a little spiritual space where, you know, it's so important to us, especially
right.
this world. It's so fraught with anxiety right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps to revive you.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Well, our phone number, our home phone number, which is 313-640-5792. 313-640-5792. And we live in the Grosse Pointe area, and Grosse Pointe City, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not too far away.
No, well, you're obviously in the area. Any type of website or anything like that?
Yes, we do. www.intothemystical.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also email from that,
mm-hmm.
From that website. And that gives a little bio on my husband, Robert, and a little bio on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has our schedule of where we're teaching and what we're
right.
teaching.
Well, you also have a television program called Out of the Ordinary Into the Extraordinary. I know that you host that with
yes.
Robert. Do you enjoy doing that?
Yes, we. It's something we look forward to every week because
mm-hmm.
we do that. We tape on Wednesdays. And
mm-hmm.
Since it's Out of the Ordinary Into the Extraordinary, we do have Out of the Ordinary guests.
Right. Keeps things interesting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. We learn so much about people
mm-hmm.
And about different places, different people, different perspectives, and it's always an education.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that cable in Grosse Pointe?
Yes, it is. It's actually, if you have Comcast, it's in the Five Points and Harper Woods.
Okay.
So it goes out 21 times. Our show goes out 21 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So 11 a.m., 11 p.m., and 5 a.m.
Okay, so you get everything covered, right?
Yeah,
time-wise.
Yeah, time-wise. So,
mm-hmm.
So we enjoy doing it. We co-host and co-produce together. So,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're always looking for new guests that are out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps even Mike Holloway from Metaphysically Speaking.
Yeah, well, if you're desperate for guests, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure you'll have to be if you ask me.
We would be honored to have you as a guest on our show, Mike.
It's great to hear. But once again, thank you very much for being on the show, Pamela. I've really enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
It's been a great interview. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank everybody that was on the show. Everybody being Reverend Pamela Taylor, of course. That was very nice of her to be able to do the show. Very interesting interview. Again, I really enjoyed it. So I want to thank her for doing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Once again, I always want to thank Brandon McKay for his help in producing this show. He is very, very instrumental in putting this thing together. I really appreciate all his effort as well. And something else I want to mention coming up next month is another Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. That's right. Once again, I'm pleased to announce that WHFR and Metaphysically Speaking are presenting the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair on Saturday, May 22nd, 2010, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. right here on the campus of Henry Ford Community College. Currently, we are seeking holistic vendors, readers, and body workers for this event. If you are interested in joining us for this exciting festival, please call 313-317-6540, or you can email us at holistic2010@peoplepc.com. Once again, that email address is holistic2010@peoplepc.com. So we hope that you join us perhaps, or maybe come out and actually experience the fair itself. We would love to have you. We really enjoyed putting it on last year. We look forward to it this year as well. I just want to thank everybody for listening to this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. We'll be back next month on the 16th. On the 18th next month. So please come back for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Once again, thank you for listening and have a great day.
WHFR Dearborn.
WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Jeff, and you're listening to One Chord to Another, playing new and slightly used indie rock and pop every Tuesday from 2 to 4 p.m. Before we get started today, I want to give a huge thank you to everyone who supported WHFR last week during our 2010 Radiothon. We couldn't be doing what we do here if it weren't for listeners just like you. So thank you so very much. Moving on to this week, though, if you'd like to be a part of the show today, I would love to hear from you. Any requests or comments you have, please hit me up here at the studio by calling 313-845-9676. That's option one for the studio. Again, that number to reach me here at the studio for any comments, requests, anything you have to say is 313-845-9676. Option one to get me right here in the studio. All right, last week's show was pretty light on the music, so we could ask for your support, but this week I want to make it all about the music. First up is a band that I've seen popping up on my friends' Facebook pages a little bit lately. I didn't know so many people were into this band, but this is LaRue with the song Quicksand.